folks. I want to welcome you to the Washington County Public Affairs Forum. I'm Eric, and out of the jaws of disaster, we're going to keep this forum going with some success. I want to announce next week that we're going to probably meet at Ernesto's. The Pepper Mill is going to be closed next week. They're going to put in new carpets and paint and probably cover up all the messes that we've made and give us a fresh room to visit in. I want to remind you, the week after, we're also not going to meet here. That's going to be Memorial Day. I want to announce that we do a couple things on the side that are very interesting. We have a podcast, which is podomatic.washingtoncounty.com. Our videos are also available on YouTube, and we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/Washington County Public Affairs Forum. Following this meeting, we're going to have a board meeting, and I'd also like to recognize one of our all-stars here, and that this room actually sounds good, and when we watch the videos, they sound good and they look good. That's thanks to a lot of volunteers, and I'd like to recognize Joseph Tyner, who was just certified by Tualatin Valley Cable Access as a certified field producer. So I want to thank you for that. Yay! And if I look good on camera, well, thanks to him, because I need all the help I can get. So, folks, what I'd like to do is announce the format today. And we have John Somoza and Mark Sanssouci, and they're going to do 12 minutes each of remarks. Then we're going to move to our general comments from the audience. You're allowed to ask your questions if you're a forum member in good standing. And then if it's okay with the candidates, I'd like to give you like a minute or two for closing remarks. And you can throw mud at each other and, make all sorts of snarky closing remarks and, get the last jab in. So what I'd like to do is welcome both candidates. I've got some chairs up here for you. And would you please put your hands together for Councillor Sanssouci?
Good afternoon, everybody. By way of introduction, for those of you who don't know me or haven't followed Beaverton City Council work lately, my name is Mark Sanssouci. I was elected to the City Council in November of 2008, which means I'm in about year 5.5 on the Beaverton City Council, re-elected in 2010. Before being on the City Council, I worked on the City's Planning Commission for 2 years, in 2007 and 2008. And from 2006 until just January this year, I also served as a volunteer on the Washington County Planning Commission, and I was chair of that body for about 4 years. I worked in the computer software industry before getting involved in local government. I worked about 26 years in software development. At this point, most of it in the city of Beaverton. And I volunteer in a number of other areas throughout the community. The Tualatin Hills Park and Rec District, when they passed the bond in 2008, set up an oversight committee to make sure that the district spent their money the way they were supposed to. And I've been chairing that committee since it got formed in 2009. And I also serve as a volunteer board member on the Oregon Technology Business Center, which is a technology business incubator the city of Beaverton started in 2007, I believe. I've been working there for about three or four years. One of the reasons that I love doing this work and why I'm interested in continuing to do this work as a city councilor is that I really love the city of Beaverton. I love the things going on in it. I love that the excitement that the residents of Beaverton have for their community. I love the sense of involvement that people in Beaverton have. We have so many volunteers who participate with the city in so many different ways. It's really hard not to get excited about the city when you live and work in the city. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I think are really important that are going on in the city right now and that I want to keep working on that we can work toward achieving. A lot of this derives from the Beaverton Community Vision, which was developed over the period of late 2007 through 2009. We had, again, as is the Beaverton tradition, a committee of volunteers who went out into the community and asked in many different ways, in many different forums, in many different opportunities, asked the public what they wanted the future of Beaverton to be. And we got responses from over 5,000 people, 6,500 suggestions. It all got distilled down to an action plan of about 118 items that were tangible and understandable and potentially achievable. And so we've been working on achieving those or getting them started. Some of them are very long-term kinds of things. And we're now 5 years into the process going out for a refresh with our residents to ask how are we doing? Are we doing okay? Are we doing things well? Or is there more that we want to get done? What are your suggestions for the next 5, the next 10, the next 15 years? So we'll be asking people about that and learning from our community what they want the city of Beaverton to evolve into. Some of the things that have come out of the original vision work and that we know that we have to work hard on continuously, the biggest topic that came up over and over again is, let's do something to turn the downtown of Beaverton into a place where people want to spend time, as opposed to spending time in their cars. We would love to see people think of downtown Beaverton as a walking place, a place for people, a place for lounging outdoors in a public plaza, or lounging on a street front cafe table, enjoying a nice meal outdoors on a beautiful day like today. It's not that way now, and we know it. And so there's a lot of transformational work that has to happen, much of it due to the public the private sector, people investing in redeveloping their properties or constructing something new on the few bits of vacant land that we still have there. But some of it is in the public realm. For instance, Canyon Road, Farmington Road, Broadway. These are older streets. Two of them are state highways. And with the cooperation of ODOT and a lot of hard work, we've come up with very rational ways that we can turn those into much more pedestrian-friendly and much more people-friendly streets. And we're part of the way down the road to doing that. The Canyon Road project in particular is a very big, complicated one. We've got commitments from the federal money through Metro for about $3.5 million for that, and we're pursuing a federal Tiger grant for another $10 million. If we achieve that, we'll be able to do a substantial transformation of Canyon Road in downtown Beaverton from the west side of downtown to the east. We have been talking a long time, one of the items in the community vision, about wayfinding. When people get out of a car in downtown Beaverton, it isn't always obvious where things are. And if you want people to be pedestrians, it's important to let them know where things are. And so we have, through some grants from the Washington County Visitors Association and other organizations, developed a wonderful wayfinding plan. And we have an opportunity to start putting up the first of those signs this calendar year, which is going to be a delight to see, and more over time as the plan rolls out. Through a federal grant, we've also been taking a very close look at how to encourage substantial redevelopment of some of the challenging properties in the downtown area. Everybody's familiar with the Round, but there are properties around the Round that have also not developed. And so we're trying to find out what are the obstacles to that, and what kinds of things can we do to make it more attractive to private investment. So improving the creeks is one of the clear things that have come. In fact, the Creekside District name came because the creeks go through this area, and they influence the developability of some of these difficult properties. So we're working on improving that. We're also, at the same time, looking at alternative routes to the main roads through the downtown so that pedestrians, bicycles, and automobiles have alternatives to the congested Canyon Road, Farmington Road, Broadway, Milliken Way, some of the others. We're going to try to get more north-south and east-west options down there. And, of course, just a lot of hard work talking to developers, talking to private money interests, talking to landowners to try to encourage them to take a 60, 70, 80-year-old building and turn it into something newer and fresher that the modern Beaverton would very, very much welcome. In other areas, Beaverton's invested a lot in the last 5 or 6 years in economic development and is beginning to invest in marketing the city as an attractive place for businesses to start up, grow, thrive, and move in from other places. That's still work that we're learning how to do better and better all the time. It's challenging and difficult, but with the help of the mayor and with the support of the council and the budget committee and the residents of the city, we're doing significantly more work in that area than had been done prior. Neighborhood improvements. We're always looking for opportunities to improve on Beaverton's great neighborhoods. There are a few that are significantly challenged, and working with Portland State University, we have an opportunity to look at one of the more challenged neighborhoods, which is the Allen Boulevard corridor. And we're about to get the first results of that from the PSU study. We're always working on roads. Beaverton was the first in the county to institute long strings of intelligently programmed traffic signals that can interact with each other in a way to facilitate the recovery from traffic issues and incidents. Cedar Hills Boulevard, Canyon Road, and Farmington Road, right in downtown Beaverton, are the first places that we've had full-scale implementations of what they call smart signals. We're also investing a lot in intersection improvement, and the city always invests in maintaining the roads, because if you don't maintain your roads, it's way more expensive to fix them later on. We have three major developments either starting up or in progress. The Timberland development at the north end of the city is turning into a very interesting place, and anybody who hasn't seen that recently is ought to go up and take a look. The Peter Court property is up near the Sunset Light Rail Station. We're going to get our first development applications coming forward to us related to that probably this calendar year, and we'll have an opportunity to see the vision that the county and the community at large first developed back in the 90s start to come to life around the Sunset Light Rail Station. And then, of course, South Cooper Mountain, the urban growth boundary expansion area that was annexed into the city a couple of years ago. We're getting through the planning process. We're about to begin the sort of more detailed zoning development for that area. And that's gonna result in a fairly substantial small community of its own down in the southwest corner of the city. Public safety, the building. We're moving half of the city government out of the old city hall into the building we bought at the Round. And the police and court are going to take over the old City Hall building. And we would like to upgrade that to a facility that actually works the way it should for police, public safety, emergency response, and for the courts. The building was not designed to support any of those functions, and it needs to be redesigned in order to support those properly. There will probably be a measure brought before the Beaverton voters in November asking for funds to pay for a remodel of that building to make it functionally appropriate for police, emergency, and for the courts. As always, we are doing a lot, and I'm very excited about these things, in the area of arts, culture, events, and of course the famous Beaverton Library, which is now expanded to include a second branch. And between the two of them, they're the busiest library system in Oregon. We have a great arts community in this area, and we have not done enough to let people know about that quality. And so one of my personal agenda items is to see what we can do to build on what we already have and build awareness of what we already have, so that when people think about arts, they don't automatically think about, oh, you have to go to Portland for that. We've got it here. Diversity. What a great diverse population we have. We've invested a lot in trying to bring our diverse community more into engagement with the city, and we're going to continue to do that. Fourth year in a row of the Beaverton International Celebration, hosted by the Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District Party in the Park, and I said that all in one string. If you haven't been to the International Celebration at the Party in the Park, come out to it the last Saturday in July this year. It's becoming a really great thing. I always work to try to make sure that our public involvement procedures for city activities are as strong as possible, and that's something I'm going to continue to do. And of course, it's very important for us as a city to work very well with our partners. That means with the county, that means with the school district, with our park district, with our fire district, and thank you for being here today, sir. And we will continue to be good partners to our other local governments, because together we manage to get more done more effectively for our residents. So thank you very much. I'll turn the microphone over and look forward to talking to you some more.
Folks, would you please give a round of applause to John Somoza?
Thank you for inviting me here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. So Mark, not that I was planning on addressing some of the things Mark might think, some of the things he mentioned are some of the reasons why you'll see a difference between myself and Mark. For one, you heard Mark talk about the civic plan from 2007 to 2009. Here we are, 2014, 5 years after the plan was done, 7 years since it began. And what I heard out of what Mark was saying was that we're getting ready to go back and find out what we're going to do on our new plan. If you've read my voter's guide statement, you see one of the things that I bring up is that this city has been stagnant, right? Not much has really happened. And I understand that a lot of the city, what it has to do is keep the streets paved, the lights on, and keep the things moving forward. But ever since I've been here, and I've been here since 1994, you know, I've heard all about the development, redevelopment, the downtown corridor, all of those different things. And since I've been here, other than the library development, not much has really gone on. So where are we at? I mean, where are we moving forward? And that's where I want to bring in some new ideas. Another thing that Mark brought up is talking about bringing in business and such, you know, additional economic activity. And that I heard that we're still learning how to do that. What I want to do is I want to bring actually experience doing that. So all my experience comes from corporate experience, working with large businesses, international businesses, lots of corporate experience. Educationally, my undergraduate is in engineering, so I am a little bit of a geekhead, but I also have a Master's of International Management from Portland State University, so bringing that experience, as well as a JD degree from Lewis and Clark Law School here in town. So I can look at things from a business perspective, from a technical perspective, and also from a legal perspective to try to figure out what can we do to move things forward, right? Let's get things going. Let's not talk about more plans and continuing that activity. If you've also seen my voter's guide statement, there are a few other things that I have issues with here in the city that I'd like to address. I found that the city council was not unanimous against holding back on the marijuana dispensaries in this town. And it's an issue which I think is very important. So one of the other activities I do is I'm a reserve deputy sheriff here in Washington County, something I'm very proud of and very excited to be. And actually, it's the second time I've been a reserve officer. Before I moved up here in 1994, I was a reserve officer with the Long Beach Police Department down in California, a city of 500,000 people. So it was quite active there. But even coming up here and working with the Washington County Sheriff's Office to see a lot of the illegal activity around marijuana, and make no mistake about it, marijuana is illegal. Just because the state of Oregon or any other state decides that they're not going to prosecute against it doesn't mean it's not illegal under federal law or international treaties. So we're talking about an illegal substance that is a controlled substance. I don't want to see Beaverton, the next big move for Beaverton is to allow a lot of medical marijuana dispensaries to be in this town. I'm also a father. I've got triplet children. I'm talking to them about drugs all the time. So from as a father perspective, also as a reserve deputy sheriff, I don't see that as something that we should be allowing in the city of Beaverton. I'm kind of disappointed that the city council isn't pushing back on that more than it can be, or more than it is, I'm sorry. So one of the other developments going on, as Mark had mentioned, is the round. Probably one of the other things that I've been hearing ever since I've come to Beaverton. As we all know, the round was a big, expensive fiasco for the city. So here we are all these years later still talking about it. Now the city's actually investing more money into something that they shouldn't have invested in the first place. It may make sense, given the current economic situation, for the city to move there. But there's a lot of decisions going on with what's going to happen with the old location with the police department, the Beaverton Police Department, a very fine and well-respected police department that needs better facilities. Well, last time I looked, nobody on the city council has any experience, direct experience in law enforcement. I'm here to say that as a reserve deputy sheriff, working with the county and also working with our Beaverton Police Department partners, at least I can bring that perspective to those discussions. There was an article in the Oregonian, I believe, that said voters shouldn't give the city a blank check as far as doing all this work, doing all this activity. I want to bring that voice of reason to it. As I mentioned, just my background, my experiences, I'll take a good look, a professional look, not only as a reserve, but also from a business perspective to see what makes sense, right? I think that's one of the things that's really been missing on the city council is a strong sense of looking at things in a practical way, what makes sense economically. You know, after all, it is the taxpayers' money that we're spending. Just because we have this much money doesn't mean we should spend all the money. We should look at the most effective way of spending money in this city. So that was one of the other things, again, in my voter's guide statement. The last thing I mentioned in my statement, which is also near and dear to me, is neighborhoods, okay? Before I came up here in 94, and actually before you think I'm a Californian, I'm not. I'm actually originally from New York City, of all places. I've lived in Dallas, Texas, Seattle, Washington, Los Angeles, and here is the place that I've chosen. I've settled here in 94. I met my wife here in Oregon. We now have three children, and we've been in the same house, or I've been in the same house since 1994. So we're well invested in staying here and making Beaverton a great city. But one thing that's always been core to me is neighborhoods. Before I came up here, I created my own neighborhood association in Long Beach, California, to help deal with some of the issues. Some of the issues here which are not heard of. We're talking about crack houses, we're talking about prostitution, we're talking about active gangs in our neighborhood, not in some other part of town. And so it was always important to me that we always had a safe place, but a place that people could raise their families and have their kids and not destroy the neighborhoods. And one of the things that does disturb me going on around here is this drive towards density, right? There's a time and a place for density, absolutely. But I see with the current issues in the city, with a lot of the traffic issues, the ongoing discussion about how we're going to fix Canyon one day, and I'm sure, like the rest of you, I don't want to be anywhere near Canyon most days because of the traffic. Well, let's talk about Shoals Ferry. What about Shoals Ferry? We're talking about a new major development going down in southern Beaverton. What about all the issues on Shoals Ferry? It's enough of a problem right now. So we're going to hurt the livability of the existing residents if we don't look at this very carefully. And so that's one of the other pillars that I want to look at, is make sure we think of the current residents. You know, we talk about taxes, and that's coming up now in the ballot measure. There are some new taxes. One of the things that I always look at my tax bill is I'm going, I cannot retire in my own house at the rate the taxes are going. You know, what is the city doing to try to keep me here or just get rid of me when I retire and I can't even afford my own tax bill? You know, is that what we want to do? Do we want to price out everybody, increase the density, increase the cost of everything? So it'd be something that I'd be very concerned about on the city council and looking at it from that perspective. So just wanted to get that out there. A few quick opening comments. I know I was given 12 minutes, but I figure if I get my points across before then that's all the time I need. So thank you very much.
Well, folks, I want to open it up for questions. You know the custom, get in line. And please, if you're not aware of our customs, you need to be a paid-up forum member in good standing to ask your question. And questions, please ask them in 30 seconds or less. And candidates, if possible, do it in a minute or less for a response. And if you need a little bit more time, we'll work with you. But 8-minute responses, nah, we'll start playing some techno music in the background and drown you out. So, John Tyner, give me 1 second and then take it away.
John Tyner, forum member. The rationale for development in the South Beaverton area, I don't think is very well understood by a lot of folks, and I've only been working on some of those issues for the last 30 years as a volunteer candidate, at various levels, appointed official, including, you know, various committees, school board, business associations, chambers, et cetera. And I don't get the rationale for South Beaverton, given that there's essentially infrastructure costs which are staggering with no current taxation plan, north-south arterials which are currently inadequate. And I've been to most of the organizational meetings for various organizations and the Metro things, the Lower Beaverton thing, and I just don't get it. I don't get why Beaverton needs to expand there.
I guess I'll answer that real quickly, because I think I did answer that in my opening statement. I'm not quite sure I see it either. We have tremendous infrastructure issues, and I don't know if that's the right thing at the right time right now. So I would look very carefully at that. If there's unfunded infrastructure issues, we cannot let this happen. Again, Shoals Ferry, that whole area, Murray Boulevard, it gets really congested, really bad, and we need to address that before we put in however many more developments down there.
Clearly a question that can't be answered in 1 minute, but I'll take a quick whack at it. First of all, the need for development to occur in the region is at that state and metro level of deciding where growth is going to take place. Beaverton stepped up and said, we would like to be responsible for one of those growth areas because we think we can do a good job of turning it into a good community within a larger community. And I think we're doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't infrastructure challenges. However, the region as a whole and the city of Beaverton in particular have learned a lot from watching the work that's been done in other areas. South Hillsboro, North Bethany, the Tigard River Terrace area, all of these are slightly ahead of us in the timeline of developing plans, and we have the opportunity and have learned a lot from the work done in those other areas, particularly North Bethany, which has a very challenging finance plan because it took so long to get from urban growth boundary expansion to development. Because ours is on a shorter timeline, because we're able to do this more efficiently, we think that we can solve the finance problem for infrastructure, north-south routes, east-west routes, and get that done in a more rational fashion. But it's a challenge. It's very hard to plan for the kind of residential and commercial development that the region wants to see in this area.
I'm Bill Kroger. I'm a forum member. Thanks for coming today, you guys. I'm just going to follow up on what you were talking about. If the development does go on up Roy Rogers area, especially if the school bond passes, I think it's going to probably get moving, you know, with that. But it's going to increase a lot of traffic on Shoals Ferry Road, and I live not too far from Shoals Ferry and use it quite a bit. So my question is what alternative forms of transportation might be available to help alleviate traffic, and then what would you think? I know it's going to be a problem, but I talk to politicians about this, you know, about, you know, and nobody seems to be really addressing the you know, the whole road issue. So anyway.
Well, several things are being looked at and can be done. Shoals Ferry Road is a county facility. The city of Beaverton can't unilaterally take action on it. But what we are working with the county on is the implementation of smart signalization on Shoals Ferry, which actually has a fairly noticeable and significant impact on the flow of traffic in a congested corridor like that. We've seen that kind of result on Canyon Road, Farmington Road, and Cedar Hills Boulevard already. That's part of it. Part of it also is making sure that there are alternatives to Shoals Ferry, which includes transit, which includes routes to the north, east-west routes to the north of it and to the south of it. Also, taking into account that a lot of the residents in the South Cooper Mountain area are probably going to be working to the north, not necessarily all to the east. And so one of the priorities we've set on the City Council for our planners working with the county is to make sure that there are no less than three significant collector or arterial routes leading from South Cooper Mountain to the north over the hill into the industrial and employment areas to the north of Hillsboro, Bethany, and West Beaverton.
There's not much I can add to that other than I don't think there are any alternative transportation options. It's going to be a lot more cars on our roads, and we need to look at that in that light and make sure that we don't put in more buildings and people that the area can handle.
Anthony Mills, I'm a forum member. This is kind of an open-ended question, and since there aren't a lot of people behind me, you might take more than a minute. But Metro is a big player in the area in development in many aspects. So I would welcome just any comments that you have about Metro as it relates to Beaverton and your race.
Or even less. So Metro obviously is very important, right? We do have this multi-layer government that is kind of unique to Oregon that we do need to work with. And there are lots of wonderful partners to work with. And so there's nothing specific I can mention other than obviously working with Metro is extremely important for us, you know, especially to address some of these larger issues that are outside of our control, right? We do need to work with our other partners. So I would just look to them towards being very, have a very positive working relationship with them.
And so obviously working with Metro is multifaceted because they're responsible for natural areas, they're responsible for regional parks such as the Cooper Mountain Regional Park and a whole bunch of other areas where it's always beneficial for us to be in constant engagement with them as we are with the county and the park district and the school district. They're a significant partner on implementing many of the things that we want to do. In the area of land use planning, the principal role Metro has is deciding on its periodic basis where and how much development is to take place in order to satisfy their state mandated 20 to 30 year projections for residential and employment growth. Once they've set that, once they've said, okay, South Cooper Mountain is in the urban growth boundary and Beaverton, it's yours to plan, they generally stay out of the way. They participate in the planning process just to make sure that their base level requirements are being met. But they don't tell us where to put streets. They don't tell us where to put apartments. They don't tell us where to put houses. That's community planning that's done by local communities. And Metro doesn't dig into that level of detail. They will participate in anything if you ask them to. But as a regulatory body, their role stops at the point where the urban growth boundary gets expanded and somebody takes responsibility for the planning. Then they're in an advisory role, and that's the role that they've been taking with South Cooper Mountain.
Harry Bodine, forum member. I am a tax-fleeing, unincorporated area suburbanite. If I annex my home to the city of Beaverton, the tax on my house would go up $400 a year. That's the difference right now. So annexation to the city is not very attractive financially to me. My question would be, has anyone ever thought about the city going to the all of the unincorporated area inside the Beaverton School District, Aloha, Cedar Hills, Garden Home, everything? We'll all go together, and we'll start off by lowering our city tax rate, $400 per house, down to what the unincorporated are paying, and sort of building a unified community from that point on.
Uh, Yeah, that's certainly an idea, although I think it's fair to say that there are some people that wouldn't even want that conversation to get started. Certainly size has its advantages up to a point, and a larger community pooling tax resources would allow tax rates to drop, absolutely. In fact, Beaverton is one of the last remaining communities in Oregon that has a floating tax rate because we budget to an amount and not to a tax rate. We don't levy our full tax rate. And so when new properties come into the city or when properties redevelop, pressure on our tax rate is reduced. And so larger populations joining the city would absolutely reduce pressure on taxes. I think it's a fair question, but I think before you get to that question of what rate do you set for a larger community, you have to assure yourself that the larger community is interested in participating in that larger vision. And I'm not sure we're there yet. We've started some conversations with people again, but they're just conversations, and there's no certainty that the outlying communities that are in Beaverton School District boundaries but not in Beaverton City boundaries necessarily want to be part of a community, even if the tax rates were level. Not sure.
Okay, an ongoing question, of course, comes up in quite a bit. It's interesting, if you look at what Beaverton has done over the years historically, and I know Mark's not to blame for all of this, I believe it predates Mark. If you look at the map of Beaverton, it's a mess. It's ridiculous. As a reserve deputy sheriff, it's kind of funny because Beaverton annexed roads to create little umbilical cords to grab a neighborhood, right? So we would cover the houses, but if it's on the road, then Beaverton Police covers it. There's some really unusual things. I think the real question is some of these communities that are paying the higher tax rate, should they unannex, if that's even possible, you know, to get to that point? It is an ongoing thing every time we hear this or I hear this spoken. It's like, if we annex to Beaverton, all our taxes go up and no one knows why. And one of the things I think we need to take a close look at that as to why our tax rates are higher, undoubtedly Mark can probably have a better discourse on that, knowing the numbers better than I, but I'm curious as to why our Beaverton tax is so much higher than everybody else around us, and how does that affect everybody as far as annexing or de-annexing, that type of discussion.
Chris Leslie, forum member. The Westgate properties, what are your plans for those? What would be a good substitute? Maybe a park? I don't know. But a medical building, adding to more traffic? What are your ideas on that area?
That's one of the ongoing things where we've been talking about visioning, planning for such a long time on what's going to happen over there. I don't have insights to all the things the city's obviously been thinking about on there. Personally, I would like to see it encourage more, you know, it's a tough area to get to across Canyon Road to connect it with the downtown area. It'd be interesting if there is some way to connect the two. I don't think that's practical. It obviously makes sense for some really good retail. There's a lot of awesome retail around there, especially in these open air type of retail. You know, Bridgeport Village is a perfect example of some types of a retail that could be inspiration for over there. But I don't know if just another medical building or another office building is going to add much to the charm or character of Beaverton, but if it was a destination retail, or some type of complex retail, entertainment, movies, you know, similar to Cedar Hills Crossing, it could maybe leverage what's going on over there nicely.
Right now, we've got three fairly vocal groups within the city that have expressed strong interest in three kind of different concepts for the Westgate property. One is looking to kind of do the classic downtown development thing, a mixed-use office slash retail slash residential complex. We had a proposal for that from a private developer back before the crash, and of course that proposal died with the crash. So that's one concept that's being strongly pursued by one group. Another group thinks it's an ideal location for a performing arts center, a really nice 400 to 500 seat performing arts facility with a number of opportunities for classrooms and additional smaller performing spaces attached to it. It's a great location for that. Very interesting possibility. The third one that we have been looking at is a health collaborative, which is basically an office building, a medical office building, on part of the property with the intent that the other part of the property would be reserved for something else, perhaps an office slash retail combination or perhaps a residential building. The key thing and the most important thing that makes this a challenge, and it addresses one of the comments that John said earlier. The key thing is that the city doesn't build these buildings. The city needs private investment to come in and build these buildings. We need people who want to do what their idea is with their money. Although it sometimes sounds like it when you read the newspaper, the city did not build the round. The city didn't build any of those buildings. The city made some investments back then in facilitating the development of the round and made some choices that, you know, we've had to unfurl because they weren't necessarily great choices. But the city didn't build any of those buildings. And most of the land at the round and the buildings at the round, except the one the city owns, are owned by a private company. So any development that takes place there or at the Westgate property or anywhere else in downtown Beaverton is going to be done by private money. So what we have to do is encourage as many possible people to come forward with ideas and then leap on the one that shows the most promise and the most likelihood to actually be achieved.
Phil Nelson, forum member. And I'm curious about the current status of the Performing Arts Center concept, and there's been some, maybe you both want to comment on it, but I imagine a counselor would have some insight into what's going on, and it is rather at least a city project, I understand. It's being pushed by the city. But you could give us an update on that and see how that's going.
The idea of a performing arts center in Beaverton has come up from the community for a very long time, and I think it probably dates to even Mayor Doyle's very first days on the city council. I know that from my work, I'm now the liaison to the Arts Commission. I've been spending a bunch of time with both our Arts Commission, the Arts Foundation, and other members of the community who are not part of those groups who are trying to achieve a performing arts center. And there's always been this sense that the city needs to play a role. And that the city can be the catalyst, the facilitator, the gatherer of people together to try to get things to happen. But there is no expectation that the city would pay for an entire performing arts center. The question has always been how much, what fraction would the taxpayers of Beaverton be willing to invest in a performing arts center if private fundraising could raise the rest of the money for it. And that's the stage that we're at. It's a facility that I would love to see in Beaverton because I think we have an arts community that's robust enough to support it. I think we've got people interested in funding it. Locations are hard because the only piece of property the city controls is the Westgate property, and that's why it's a focus of a lot of attention. All the other nice places that you might want to put a performing arts center are owned by other people, and some of those people may or may not agree with the idea of a performing arts center going on the property that they own. They might not want to sell it. So we're in this sort of swirl of talking to people to try to find out, can we get interest from the community in funding a portion of it, as well as interest from a property owner in being the location, and then get the private fundraising together to make it happen. Not certain, but it's something that a lot of people want to see happen.
And to me, this has a little bit of the echoes of the round, whereas Mark was correct, it was privately built with promises from the city that led to significant expenditures on part of the city. So I'd say the city got even a worse position. They weren't the builder. They just took the liability for the builder, which has been paying, the city's been paying for ever since. So the Performing Arts Center, I think, is a great idea, but I would see zero contribution from the city. It needs to be self-sustaining, right? The city cannot continue to invest in something where the expenses are unknown year over year over year. It needs to be privately developed, privately funded. The city can help in other ways, obviously zoning and other things, and maybe helping bridge some of the partners together to make it happen. But it should not come on the back of the taxpayers, because there are a lot of people who don't feel that that's a best use of their taxes.
John Hutzler, forum member. I believe there is a provision in the Beaverton City Charter for an auditor, a provision that's not been implemented. And I'm wondering if you could explain why that's never been implemented and whether you would support an auditor position in the city.
I'm not familiar with that provision, but I support it completely. When I ran for city council 4 years ago, it was one of the things I felt the city needed. It was a very strong auditor to really have an independent perspective of how the city's running and how the finances are going on. So I would support that completely. you know, in conjunction with that, what I also brought up 4 years ago, which I still believe now, is that we're way beyond this strong mayor form of government in Beaverton. For those who are familiar with it, the mayor is kind of in charge of this corporation known as Beaverton. So hundreds of employees, 170 million, what's the budget? Yep, about $170 million budget. So we've elected a person to run a $170 million budget and about 500 people organization, whereas most cities of this size should have a professional city manager running it that the city council chooses and not a mayor running the whole city who's at the whims of the electorate who doesn't really know if that's the right person or not. So I think those two go together. We go to a council city manager form of government, which is a longer term discussion to do. Strong auditing, and I believe that a city manager would bring that as well.
Well, as the Washington County auditor knows full well, there are several aspects to auditing. One is financial audits, and the city hires a outside firm to do financial audits of our records, as is required by state budget law. And we've been working with an auditing firm for a number of years on those financial audits. Their results are always published, always available to anybody. Anyone can also take a look at our budget at any time. It's posted on the city's website. If you really want to know what's going on in the city of Beaverton, read that gentle little 400-page novel sometime. It's very revealing about what we spend our money on and what we don't, where the revenue comes from. The other side of auditing is performance and functionality audits and making sure that the operations of city government are as appropriate and efficient and effective as possible. We see some very strong auditing going on, for instance, now in Washington County, thank you. Metro has a very strong auditor's office, and anybody who's reading the newspaper lately knows that the city of Portland has a pretty strong auditing office these days, looking into whether or not programs and departments are operating the way that they should be. We have a standing item in the city council budget for a operational audit, which we have not taken advantage of every year, but occasionally we invest in an outside consultant to come in and explore some part of the city. The most recent large one was a review by a national organization of our courts to make sure that our municipal court was operating most effectively and efficiently. We learned a great deal from that audit. Many changes have been implemented in response to that. The fact that our charter says that we shall have an auditor is actually an auditor oddity that I have noticed before, and I have been told that we are fine by hiring a professional auditing firm for financial purposes, but it's an interesting wrinkle, and somebody could perhaps explore the constitutional question there.
Mark Freiberg, forum member. The vision that was mentioned earlier has line after line after line about becoming a more sustainable city and protecting the environment. I'd like both of you to comment, if you would, on what's been accomplished so far and what you see ahead.
Well, the mayor and the staff, with the support of the council, have done a lot over the last 5 or 6 years to improve Beaverton's overall profile and sustainability. We've invested in solar facilities. We've got another very large installation that we're working with right now, largely paid through grant funding, which is going to go on top of one of our water reservoirs on the north side of the Cooper Mountain Massif. We have invested in thank you, PGE, Green Power. PGE has some wonderful programs that allow people to sign up for their Green Power programs, which means that some percentage of your power comes from PGE's renewable sources. And I believe Beaverton just crossed the 100% mark in this last fiscal year, so that we are now 100% drawing power from PGE's Green Power program. We invest substantially in landscaping, and it sounds like a minor thing, but street trees and landscaping are a huge part of maintaining a sustainable urban environment. We invest now much more than before in sort of advanced stormwater management techniques that do on-site stormwater retention and cleaning, so that water that's being sent down storm drains into the Tualatin River ultimately is cleaned to the maximum extent possible, or even recaptured into the aquifers under the city. The city internally has done a tremendous amount to change its own operations, reducing the use of paper, allowing electronic filing of permit applications, all the kind of things that you would hope to see somebody do just to reduce waste in physical materials. Plus, we have what I think is one of the county's strongest garbage and recycling programs, as well as signing up for an early version of the commercial food composting program, which is showing some initial results and needs to be explored further.
Obviously, the city should take sustainability serious, but it also needs to be balanced appropriately with what makes the most economic sense. So all the things the city is doing does sound like it's great initiatives. Again, not being on the city council, I don't know everything that they're doing, but we should look at whatever we can do, obviously, if it makes sense, especially for the sustainability of the city itself and for the population that's here.
Williams, a forum member. I'm a little bit thinking about, I want to talk a little bit about water. Water seems to be a little bit in my family right now, and so I was kind of wondering, because there's a drive right now, I think, through the water groups and a number of cities to maybe go to the Willamette River to bring in water and pipe it in, and I think there may be a number of cities that are involved in that. But my question is, how does that work? And Beaverton, I believe, does not get all their water from the Hag Lake, or where they, I don't know exactly where they get it from. So can you talk a little bit about the water issue, that because there's a lot of people that use clean water in the area. So thanks. Talk about that.
And not a whole lot I can say on that. I know that we're part of the water district, we're a part of it, and where the water comes from is, I forget all the cities that's involved in that in the water district. I'm not familiar with the thoughts of getting additional water sources, so I'm just going to cut right there because Mark and Ali will have some more insights into that. What's that? Absolutely.
Well, as John knows and pointed out, the city of Beaverton gets its current drinking water supply from two sources. There are two very large reservoirs in the Coast Range. One is the Hag Lake. The other one is a place called Barney Reservoir, which people don't get to go to because it's fenced off in order to protect the quality of the water there. Our projections are that those two sources, barring major droughts or a significant seismic event that destroys the dam at Hag Lake, which is something we're all concerned about, by the way, those two sources will hold the current city of Beaverton water distribution system for about 25 to 30 years. Water planners think in terms of 50-year time frames, and so when your water supply is good for another 30 years, you start to worry. And so, not surprisingly, the city of Hillsborough started worrying really hard because they have some very massive water users. They have Intel Corporation, which is one of the largest water users in the state of Oregon. Several other, Genentech and others, very, very significant water use. So Hillsborough started the initiative to look at what Wilsonville and Sherwood have done in tapping the water supplies in the Willamette. And the city of Beaverton has signed on as a potential partner to that in order to make sure that if that project comes to fruition, which I believe it will, that we can buy a share of the water production of the expanded water treatment facilities that would be built down there. There are multiple good reasons for this. One is that it provides an additional redundant source of supply and treatment. City of Beaverton has one water treatment plant. It's out south of Forest Grove. Tualatin Valley Water District shares that water treatment plant for about half of its water supply. If something happens to that water treatment plant, we just have what's in the reservoirs, and that doesn't last more than a day or two, or maybe perhaps a week, or if the aquifer storage systems are full, maybe 2 weeks. So having a redundant water treatment plant with a redundant supply is really good 50-year planning, and it's something that I'm very pleased that the city is investing in. The city of Beaverton is also fortunate that we do have one pipe that connects to the city of Portland supply. It hasn't been opened in a long time, but that's our third redundant emergency source. If you get a big enough emergency, we may be looking at one or two sources active across the entire region. And so we want to make sure we develop as many as we can.
Eric Squires, forum member. I'd like to share two concerns and then ask a question. With South Cooper Mountain, one of the phrases that's being used in print and vocally by staff is future transit. So this area that's really outside of the scope of what we consider Beaverton now is going to rely on TriMet as a logical transit supplier, but they have not committed to providing service yet. In the South Cooper Mountain development process, there's been another concern I've noticed, and that is the outreach to the community, I think, has been thin. The outreach, for example, to CPO 6 was 40 minutes with the request that the questions that the audience was to ask to be submitted in advance. And for 546 acres of development, 40 minutes at a CPO, I thought was a little thin. But my concern with South Cooper Mountain and my question is this. When Senator Bruce Starr got $1.5 million inserted into the Washington County budget to study a West Side bypass, that's going to trigger an opportunity for Beaverton to take the existing development densities of about 15 units an acre, or I think they're about 15 units an acre in South Cooper Mountain, and it would create this opportunity to potentially upzone the density. So my question for both of you is this. If Washington County and the state of Oregon greenlight a West Side bypass, would you want to ask Metro to upzone South Cooper Mountain?
First of all, on the very last part, absolutely not. In fact, I think there's quite a few people even at Metro that are thinking, 15, maybe that was a little too much of a reach. It's challenging, and I as a city councilor have no interest in trying to exceed that level of density in any part. Secondly, the study that you refer to that Bruce Starr worked at the legislature to get funding for has broadened from a focus on how to build a freeway to how to plan for Washington County transportation needs across the county in a longer term than the transportation system plans tend to look at. And I think that's very appropriate. The answer may be a freeway, although I have absolutely no idea where anybody would find enough money to build one. But it's going to look at much more than just that one little problem. South Cooper Mountain, transit, TriMet has been at the table with the city. TriMet's been a wonderful partner over the last few years. I think Neil McFarland, their general manager, is doing a fantastic job of asking his team to engage with the local governments on planning. And they've invested a lot more time and energy in Washington County than they ever did before because we've been politely pointing out that a very substantial fraction of their funding comes from Washington County and a very substantial fraction of their service that should be in Washington County is somewhere else. So we believe that they will be very alert and responsive when development does start to take place in South Cooper Mountain, and at an appropriate time they will begin to offer service down there. I think it's also important, though, that we look at other alternatives. And I've been keeping an eye, for instance, on Wilsonville and Forest Grove and a couple of other places that have started to build their own little circulator systems. And I've always believed Beaverton's big enough to be able to take advantage of a kind of a circulator system. But we haven't done any exploration of that concept other than thinking about it. Haven't tried to run numbers, haven't tried to figure that out. But I think as Washington County continues to build up, we're going to have to look at things that extend TriMet's capacity. As for public involvement, I can't speak to that specifically because I wasn't at that meeting, but I have been to many South Cooper Mountain workshops. I know that it's been open to the public to come in and comment on many occasions in many venues, and I believe that's sufficient, but I'm always happy to hear about issues.
Well, you know my stance on that. Yeah, the traffic is an issue. I don't think TriMet's going to, no matter what their participation is, it's going to nullify what the effects are going to be, right? There's no future miracle out there. You know, this brings back a little bit of echoes. When I was in Long Beach, California, I was on the Citizens Board down there when the light rail, the first light rail, the Blue Line, right, in California was put in there. And went to all the citizens' meetings and all the visions about people living around the station, ditching their cars, taking the light rail to work, all these wonderful things. And when I go to Long Beach now, still none of that has happened. Yeah. An area like this, as spread out as this, is not going to be solved with TriMet. So it helps, but I think we need to look at how we're going to not do it before we have the solution, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, let's not put in all these extra people, all this extra traffic, and then say the solution is going to show up later on.
Okay. Well, folks, any more questions? Well, how about a round of applause for our amazing candidates? You know, would you guys like to make a 1 or 2 minute closing statement?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Give it to us. Bring it on.
That was age before. Okay, well, not a whole lot to say. I think it's pretty clear in some of the things that I'd like to see for Beaverton. You know, one of the other things that I didn't mention earlier is that let's just get some new blood on the city council, right? Somebody who, I believe myself, who will add some new ideas, some new thoughts, you know, to get the council moving. Let's not stand here 4 years later talking about the plans that we have for more plans. With that, thank you very much. Appreciate the invite here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm tired of planning, but fortunately we're not planning anymore. We're actually out there doing things, which I think is to the credit of the mayor, to the credit of the staff, and frankly to the credit of the city council. We've worked hard to get a lot of things going. Yeah, they take a long time, and yeah, a lot of them are dependent on other people making decisions in our favor. This is the United States of America. People who own property own property, and there's a limited amount that government can and should do to force something to happen that people don't want to do. So we have to be persuasive, we have to be kind, we have to be clever and provide incentives and reasons for people to do things, and that's the kind of thing, the work that we're continuing to do. I'm new blood. I'm sort of in the middle. There's two counselors who've been there less than me, two counselors have been there more than me. I'm having a very enjoyable time doing good work for the city of Beaverton. I'm got a positive attitude. I'm going to keep that positive attitude. I'm going to keep working hard for the city, and I'm hopeful that the voters will let me come back for another term and see if we can get some of these things finished. Thank you.
Folks, quick reminder, we got a board meeting to decide our slate of officers for the next forum season, and please don't forget, we're not going to meet here next Monday. We're going to try to meet at Ernesto's restaurant on Apple Way in Beaverton, and that's just because they're going to close this place and change the carpets and paint the walls and take care of the mess we make every Monday. Folks, we're adjourned. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.